Good morning around the world, wherever you are. Welcome to the 25th day of January 2020 broadcast of Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead, and as always, that's me. We're coming to you with the miracles of modern technology and the magic of 21st century broadcasting through the renowned studios of Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and we're also streaming online to all four corners of the world through WGCH.com anywhere. It's the Lunar New Year. Fantastic news, don't you think? Well, we've got a great show for you today, so let's turn around and let's get started.
Coming up on today's show...
Over 130 years ago, a group of Chinese from the southern Chinese village of Baktoi, now Macau, arrived in Hawaii. They came as immigrants to create a new home for themselves. I was welcomed by two of their descendants to the Baktoi Club on Vineyard Boulevard near Honolulu's Chinatown. Jeffrey Young was the president of the club, and his cousin Leo Young was one of the club's directors. Both are descendants of those intrepid first-generation immigrants. Our conversation segment was recorded in the Baktoi Clubhouse. I was curious about the Baktoi Club's history and how this organization and other Hawaii-based Chinese benevolent societies perpetuate their culture and pass that responsibility to succeeding generations. This is, after all, the season where family reunions and reconnecting with tradition and history is celebrated. Now, if you haven't figured it out yet, today is the first day of Lunar New Year. The year of the golden rat has arrived. Now that Lunar New Year Spring Festival is upon us, we are featuring news of celebrations open to the public here, there, and everywhere, and some background on Lunar New Year traditions, too. Now, don't go away. We're just getting started.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
This is Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead on Radio 1490 WGCH.com anywhere, and now on 105.5 FM, Stamford, Connecticut, USA. Contact me anytime by email at radioasiatoday@gmail.com. Learn more about the show at radioasiatoday.blogspot.com. Can't listen in real time? Well, we understand, and we've got you covered. All of our shows are freely available through the news blog on podcast.com. SoundCloud.com, and the shows and hosts section of WGCH.com. You're invited to support the show in any amount through our GoFundMe campaign at GoFundMe.com. Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead broadcasts to the world every Saturday morning starting 10:30 a.m. Eastern USA time. As always, thank you for your interest and for listening. On behalf of the staff, management, and all my colleagues and show hosts here on Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, and WGCH.com anywhere, Happy New Year! May good health and everlasting prosperity be yours. Let's welcome the new year with our hearts filled with joy and love, our face filled with smiles and eyes focusing on better days ahead. May you, my audience, always receive the blessings of elders, the companionship of good friends, and a path of life which is filled to the brim with happiness and success. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for the interest that you have shown in The Marvels of China, Pathways to the Pacific Rim show, and now Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead. I wouldn't be here without you, and for that, I express my deepest regards and my deepest thanks to all of you.
Welcome to Conversations with Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host.
Over 130 years ago, a group of Chinese immigrants from the village of Baktoi, a place not far from Macau, arrived in Hawaii and created a home for themselves in Honolulu. I was welcomed to the Baktoi Club on Vineyard Boulevard in Honolulu by club president Jeffrey Young and his cousin Leo Young. Both are descendants of one of these original immigrants. One of the purposes of the club is to keep those connections to their ancestral home alive. I was curious about the Baktoi Club's history and how its members perpetuate Chinese culture. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'd like you to meet Jeffrey Young and Leo Young of the Baktoi Club of Hawaii.
Hey, the records of Baktoi Village go all the way back to the Zhou Dynasty. There have been people who settled in that area for at least the past 3,000 years. In the end of the Song Dynasty, when the Mongols overran northern China, the court ran south, and the emperor did eventually reach all the way down to Hong Kong, and that's where Kowloon got its name. There's a story about one of the ministers told the emperor, as he was standing on the peninsula of Kowloon, there are 9 dragons here. And the emperor looked around and he said, I only see 8 mountain peaks. And the minister said, you are the 9th dragon. So that's how Kowloon got its name. But that's a while away from Buk Toi Village. Our village is located about halfway between the capital of our district called Zhongshan and Macau. So if you were to draw a straight line from Macau to Zhongshan, we're right in the center. Zhongshan City itself has grown dramatically in the past 20 or 30 years. So technically, Buk Toi is a suburb of Zhongshan. There's a big mountain that separates us and the city proper, so you have to go around the mountain. There are 2 highways that connect the village to Zhongshan City, one highway on the east, one on the west. Getting back to a little bit of the history, most of our family genealogies begin about the 1400s. The village has primarily about 12 family names. And so long as you're of that family name and you come from that village, chances are you can trace your ancestors to a common individual. So the Youngs have been there like for a long time. Oral history back in the village indicates that the Ing family was the very first one to really establish a presence in the Buk Toi village area. So the village itself comprises of about 500 homes. A lot of the older buildings are now being torn down. So the homes that they're trying to keep are those that were built by overseas Chinese who sent money back to the home village. And the money was used to build 2- and 3-story beautiful Western-style buildings. There is an architectural name for that style. I believe it's called Lingnan, L-I-N-G-N-A-N. And it is the architectural style of South China, Pearl River Delta area. And the primary eye-catching things about Lingnan architecture is that on the outside of the building, there are bas-relief friezes of historical scenes or scenic areas, or they just kind of look like a three-dimensional painting right on the face of your building. It's just very, very unique to that area, the Pearl River Delta area of South China.
I heard that the reason why they settled in the Buk Toi area is because there's a river or a large waterway, and some of the homes that you were talking about, the magnificent mansions, were built along that bank. The other thing about it is that there's a mountain. So there was a forest there. So there was a lot of raw material, easy for them to build houses and things like that. So that's one of the reasons why they settled there. There are a lot of the people who moved from Buk Toi to here were very instrumental in organizing all of the Chinese community, one of which is Hua Tuck Young, who, with Leonard Wong, helped build up and rejuvenate the United Chinese Society. And through that, from that point of view, Buk Toi members have been very instrumental in engendering the culture activities of Honolulu, the Chinese culture kind of thing. And it helped that Hua Tuck was a restaurant owner. Well, he also told me that they were also instrumental in bringing electricity over to Buk Toi.
Oh, really?
So that Buk Toi could then do milling of the lumber there. So from that point of view, given the temperate climate, it's a very comfortable place to live.
Yeah, Buk Toi Village itself is among the very first villages in that Pearl River Delta area that had electricity. And today you can still go or walk around some of the older parts of the village and still see those ceramic round things that electricity used to be connected to. In fact, I was there just this past April. You could see cell phone towers all over the village, and you could see security cameras. They look like street lamps. except they're that dark smoke glass. And so at first glance, you'll think, oh, how neat, this village. They have street lamps all over the place. And then you realize, oh, those are cameras. And so I think that's one reason why China is such a safe place. There's somebody watching you at all times. Yeah. Well, the people of Buktoy Village and generally of South China began emigrating to the United States at the end of the 1700s. And we believe the first Chinese came to Hawaii in 1789. So we celebrated our bicentennial in 1989. There are written records back in Buktoy Village that members did come to Hawaii as early as the 1850s. Quite a few of them wanted to stay in Hawaii, especially Oahu and Honolulu, because the scenery here in Honolulu, downtown, is very almost identical to the scenery back in the village. So the mountain ridges, how the trees grow over the mountainside. The first time I went back to Buktoy, I really felt, oh, this is very much at home from Hawaii. So there is that physical atmosphere or environment that they found, our ancestors found, conducive to living here in Honolulu. A lot of them came over and started businesses, farming, opened grocery stores or miscellaneous shops for local residents, restaurants, laundry, you name it. And by the 1880s, there were enough Buktoy people here in Hawaii to kind of form a little association just to kind of look after themselves, take care of themselves. And the very interesting story is every single Buktoy person in Honolulu today can trace themselves back to an illegal immigrant. Every single one of us, there were only three individuals who got the legal papers to leave China and immigrate to the United States. One of them was Hua Duck. Even our famous aviator ancestor, Sin Yi Yang, he came over illegally. I'm not quite sure. It depends on who you talk to. He was either born here in Hawaii or he was born back in Buktoy and brought over as a very young child. But he grew up here in Honolulu, got to learn of the democracy movement that Sun Yat-sen had started. He wanted to be a very big part of it. He learned aviation, got his license in New Jersey, went back to China, built an airplane, one of those bi-wing things.
Biplanes?
Yeah. He actually built one in China. The very first one he built, and he named it after Sun Yat-sen's wife, Rosalind, Rosamond, something like that.
And he was an engineer by training.
Yeah.
And he attended Iolani School,
yes,
which is one of the schools that Sun Yat-sen went to.
Yeah.
The other thing about it, we seem to, for a small village, we seem to have been very proactive with the war between Japan, because like I said, one of the members here and his family, they established the first radar station in China for the Flying Tigers.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
We are an organization that is very interested in keeping our village-style culture alive. And what does that mean? It's basically very much similar to all Chinese families. We stress filial piety. We stress education. We stress honoring our ancestors. We stress a few of the religious aspects of village folk customs. Just trying to keep things alive as they were back in China 100 years ago, even though the China today would not recognize our cousins back in Buktoy, if in the village, if they actually came here and looked at some of our services or some of the things we do, they would not recognize it. They wouldn't think it's Chinese. We've managed to maintain a lot of the traditions that existed 100 years ago. So it's similar to the English people who settled Australia. Originally, they had that. They spoke like that. And now when we visit them, we don't realize. We think, oh, that's just the way they speak. But they've always spoken like that for the past 200 years.
Well, not only that, we seem to have very close ties. Back in 1995, I went back to Buktoy to find my father's house. My father and his brother had a duplex, And I didn't know where it was, but then somebody came up and I said, oh, my father is Li Dakyo. I said, oh, okay. They led me right to his house. So it seems to be a very close-knit community.
Southern Chinese hospitality.
Very much.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so.
My guests today are Jeffrey Young, president of the Buck Toy Club of Honolulu, Hawaii, and his cousin Leo Young, one of the directors. Let's resume our conversation.
That's how we are getting more of the younger generations involved. We are participating more with the United Chinese Society activities, such as the summer picnic. There is another Chinese organization in charge of the parade, so we are active with the parade. So we're bringing out a lot of the more younger, and we're talking teenagers and preteens.
That's good. That's
getting them a little bit more active in the club, that we're not old fuddy-duddies. We just don't sit around swearing Chinese at each other.
Yeah.
We get the kids involved, serving meals during meetings. And we get them involved as officers of the club, get them a little bit more active, and kind of help keep the association alive.
When I was a teenager, the club would give money to each student every Christmas.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, this year, has asked me to expand that program and create a scholarship program, which will be based on merit. But one of the requirements that we're going to do is that we're going to give extra points to people who participate or engender Chinese activity, not necessarily Buk Toy,
yes,
but just generally. And hopefully they'll involve Buk Toy activities too. We have the parade we go into,
sure,
the Baisan, which is where we go to the mountain,
yes,
and we honor our ancestors there. We get a whole roasted pig, and we take it up there and conduct our services there during the what they call the Qingming ceremony.
And that's one way we've been able to document exactly what these rituals entail, what they mean, and how we can keep that particular tradition alive, explaining it to the young ones. This is what we do, and this is why we do it. Versus a lot of the other organizations, you just go there and you just ape, you know, just kind of like make believe you know what you're doing. Whereas we've codified quite a few of the rituals and the traditional ways of saying things the way our ancestors used to. I guess I call it a cantor. Yeah, somebody who just chants out certain phrases the way they were chanted out 100 years ago.
And for the last 2 years, being that the close relationship between Jeffrey and I, my twin daughters were the handmaidens.
Oh, yes.
We got the
ladies involved.
Yes.
Something that's totally unheard of in a lot of the more traditional societies.
Oh, really? So,
yeah.
So the women do have...
The women have a very active voice.
Very, very active.
Yes. Yeah.
That is a very, very good sign.
I don't know about Jeffrey, but I tend to be very traditionalist. I really believe that everyone should know their culture,
yes,
whether it's Italian or French or Chinese, because I believe that having been in the Vietnam War and seeing a mass people who had grounded in a religion or a family kind of a situation were generally better to survive the stresses of the war. And that's what we're trying to do right here.
My guests today were Jeffrey Young, he is the president of the Buk Toy Club of Honolulu, Hawaii, and his cousin, Leo Young, who is one of the directors. Xinyan Kuale, Gong Hi Fa Choi. Come celebrate with the Chinese Language School of Connecticut by ushering in the Year of the Golden Rat at the University of Connecticut's downtown Stamford campus on Sunday, January 26th, from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. I'm making an appearance at this celebration, and I'd love to meet you. Let's get together, celebrate, and socialize. Now, interested in Chinese food, music, history, games, and trivia? The 18th annual celebration by the Chinese Language School of Connecticut has it all and more. Have fun with the entire family with a fun-filled afternoon with delicious food, entertainment, and games galore. Spring Festival, as the holiday is also known, has a history of over 3,000 years. Celebrations on Lunar New Year's Day can be dated back to the ancient worship of heaven and earth. Over the centuries, new traditions were added and celebrations became more entertainment-oriented. Be sure to wear something red. Red is considered an auspicious color. All attendees are encouraged to dress in period Chinese attire, sing Chinese songs, and play Chinese games, too. Now, purchase your tickets at UConn, Stamford, Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., or online at ChineseLanguageSchool.org, or contact info at ChineseLanguageSchool.org via PayPal. Regular door admission from January 20th to 26th is adults $70 and children $50. University of Connecticut's downtown Stamford campus is located at 1 University Place, Stamford, Connecticut 06901. The Chinese Language School of Connecticut is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Now remember, my friends, that's the 26th of January, year 2020, starting at 11:30 a.m. Eastern USA time. I look forward to seeing you there. It's a new year. I'm inviting you to do something extraordinary. A new approach to modern health, created by nature, crafted by Modir. At Modir, they believe you deserve safe, effective, and clean products you can use daily. Modir is committed to helping you reduce, even eliminate your exposure to controversial chemicals so you and your family can enjoy a safe, healthy home environment. Do you know I use Modir's award-winning Super Nutraceutical Liquid BioCell featuring its patented collagen AA matrix? It's true. Say yes to Modir. I did, and I love it. Learn more at modir.com. That's spelled modere.com. Call Rosalind at 808-394-5694. Again, that's Rosalind at 808-394-5694. Or call me at 808-721-0306. That's 808-721-0306. The Hello Panda Festival is the largest lantern festival in North America. The final day is tomorrow, Sunday, January 26th. The festival is open 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Citi Field in New York, featuring over 120 lantern exhibits, live entertainment, and interactive experiences. The first ever Hello Panda Festival is designed to stir the senses and inspire imaginations. This event celebrates the traditional Chinese art of lantern making with magical displays of light and color handcrafted by world-class artisans. Other attractions include cultural performances and art experiences and international food vendors curated by the World's Fair. Hello Panda Festival provides giant tents to create a warm indoor environment for visitors to watch performances, enjoy food and beverages. Festival organizers invited the China Central Academy of Fine Arts to design the lanterns and top artisans to produce the lanterns. 90% of the lanterns are original designs. Hello Panda Festival features performances, exhibitions, interactive activities, games, food, drinks, unique souvenirs, and art competitions, too. Chinese cultural experiences include arts and crafts such as Chinese paper cutting, dough sculpture, sugar painting, embroidery, calligraphy, and jade arts. So, my friends, please, you can purchase tickets at the door. Children aged 3 and under are free. Tickets range from $22 to $90. Learn more at HelloPandaFest.com, and especially check in case there is inclement weather. The Chinatown Mauna Kea Marketplace in the heart of Honolulu's Chinatown invites you to experience its first ever 2020 Chinese New Year celebration of the Year of the Golden Rat today, January 25th, 2020, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's Hawaii Standard Time in the Mauna Kea Marketplace Courtyard. It's free admission. Did you hear me say free admission? Well, you sure did. Now, come come meet the 2020 Miss Chinatown Queen and her court. Enjoy the first Miss Hawaii Chinatown Community event, too. There will be live performances. You can get your photo taken with the God of Wealth. Trust me, it's a good idea. It really is. Enjoy calligraphy, food characteristics, and spring couplets as well. Tomorrow, Sunday, January 26, 2020, Mauna Kea Marketplace will be holding a public open house starting at 10 a.m. Enjoy a Chinese Lion Dance Blessing performance by Lung Kong Physical Culture Club. Mauna Kea Marketplace is located at 1120 Mauna Kea Street in Honolulu's Chinatown. Parking is available in nearby city parking lots and can be conveniently reached by public transportation too. Now, do you have questions? If so, call 808-544-9518. Right, 1 week from today on February 1st, enjoy Zodiac Arts and Crafts, live dance performances, festive snacks, and timeless tales inspired by Chinese and Chinese American New Year traditions at the Museum of Chinese in America. That's at 215 Center Street in Manhattan in New York City. You can buy your tickets for the morning session, which is 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., or the afternoon session, 2 to 5 p.m. Both sessions will have the same awesome lineup of special guests and fun activities. Now, the tickets are $12 a person, $8 for all Mocha individual level members, free for Mocha members, family level members, that is, and above, children under two, and Cool Culture families too. You can purchase your tickets and learn more by going online to MOCANYC.org. Again, that's MOCANYC.org. That's the Museum of Chinese in America in New York City. At the China Institute in America in Lower Manhattan, also in New York City, the Art of Chinese New Year is a vibrant, interactive experience where visitors of all ages can explore the Chinese New Year holiday and the traditional visual and performing arts related to it. Tomorrow, Sunday, January 26, starting at 3 p.m., The Sound of Spring, a Chinese New Year concert with the orchestra. Now you can celebrate New Year and look forward to spring with a lively concert of Chinese orchestral works performed by the orchestra now, conducted by Jin Dong Tsai and guest conductor Chen Bing, featuring special guest soloists, including Chinese instrument masters from the faculty of the world-renowned Central Conservatory of Music in China. Tickets start at $25 per person, and this is at the Rose Theater, Jazz at Lincoln Center in New York City. Learn about these activities and more by going to ChinaInstitute.org. Again, that's ChinaInstitute.org. As I start to wind down today's show, there is, of course, in the headlines in the news today, the unprecedented effort to contain the deadly coronavirus that has sickened hundreds of people in China and spread to other parts of the world during this busy Lunar New Year travel period. It's amazing. The open-ended lockdowns are unmatched in size, and so far they have embraced more people than the populations of New York City, Los Angeles, and Chicago put together. I want to send my heartfelt wishes to the responders, whether they are in China and other parts of the world. We wish you much luck and success, and our empathy to you as well. If any officials would like to come on this radio show and to offer any commentary, I want to assure you that you will be welcomed and you will be treated with the deepest of respect. Happy New Year to everyone, and I want to thank you for tuning in to today's Asia Today with Jeffrey Bing and Mead show, broadcasting to all four corners of the world from Radio 1490 WGCH in Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and WGCH.com anywhere via live global streaming. You can learn more about the show at radioasiatoday.blogspot.com. Contact me anytime at radioasiatoday@gmail.com. Our shows are archived, and as you know, and freely available on podcast.com and SoundCloud. We thank our supporters for making this show possible. And as we'd like to say in Hawaii, ohuiho kako, until we meet again. We will see you next Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern USA time. Happy New Year. Bye-bye now.